The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Baba Yakubu
and Eugenia Asumebusechi.
In the headlines, Turkey to invest $1.5 billion in Ghana's housing, energy and infrastructure development. President Mahama inaugurates task force to implement manifesto promises. Government to establish enterprise development center in Takoradi to build capacity of SMEs in oil and gas sector. Supreme Court grants application by former Attorney General to amend writ in case involving businessman Agbesi Woyomi and front runners in Venezuela's presidential election runoff campaign. First, the summary by Eugenia.
Turkey is to invest $1.5 billion in Ghana's housing, energy and infrastructure development. A high-powered delegation is expected in the country later this month to firm up the agreement. This came to light when Vice President Emisa Ata held a meeting with Turkish investors in Istanbul. President John Mahama has inaugurated a five-member task force to see to the early realization of manifesto promises in the next 4 years. President Mahama charged the task force to work speedily but with recourse to processes and procedures that needed to be followed. An Enterprise Development Center, EDC, will be established in Takoradi next month to support and build the capacity of small and medium-scale enterprises, SMEs, in the oil and gas sector. The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakufibwa, who announced this, said the center will equip SMEs with the requisite skills to meet the requirements in the industry.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
A Turkish investment organization, Mosaid, is to invest about $1.5 billion in the Ghanaian economy. Areas of interest include housing, energy and infrastructure. This came to light when Vice President Pakwesi Emisa Ata met with the Vice Chairman of Mosaid, responsible for foreign relations, Mutla Bozkurt, on the sidelines of the 16th Euro-Asian Economic Summit in Istanbul, Turkey. A high-powered delegation is expected in Ghana later this month to firm up the agreements. In a remark, Vice President Emisa Ata spoke about the huge deficit in the country's infrastructure and thanked the Turkish investors for expressing the interest to invest in the sector. He underscored the need for private investors to focus their attention on the housing sector to reduce the shortfall the sector is facing. He said government is trying to reduce its public debt and has therefore called for more public-private partnership.
Our infrastructure requirements are so massive that really you can find other ways of using your money. So it is not just from lending to the government. You can also look at ways in which Turkish firms can invest directly. There's national demand for power which private companies can participate in the power sector and deliver power to the national utility, and they can be paid from it. So it is a possibility there. We need some more investors in the area. Also in the housing, in the area of housing, the housing needs, there are people who are willing to buy houses that are constructed to high quality. They are willing to pay for it. Main issue is about the public debt. We don't want a public debt that is too high. So we are trying to limit the public debt, and therefore borrowing for government, we want to limit it. And most of the activity that we need to do, it can be done through using the Ghanaian private sector in cooperation with the Turkish investors. And we can also deliver the infrastructure can be paid for at the same time without any regard to government. What we are encouraging the Turkish Business Association is to look for some other ways in which Turkish investment can come to Ghana in the private sector to do the same things that they wanted to learn to government.
The Vice President also called for more investment in the transport sector, especially the railways.
The transportation system in Ghana relies now more heavily on road transport than on rail. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to put back onto the rail a lot of the movement of people, because they're seeing that we are expanding the road network, but the traffic is always overwhelming the terminal. So it's important for us to put the rail back to work. But we have lost a lot of quality in the rail in terms of the maintenance, in terms of operations, and so on. And we need to do that. And it can only be done not by lending to the railway, because we don't have enough capacity to manage. But if you lend within a few years, it won't be, there won't be, the railway will not work optimally. So what we need is some cooperation, that somebody who has invested in it will be able to also look at maintenance and operation, even as they train local people to take it over time.
Vice President Pakwesi Emisa Arthur. Meanwhile, Vice President Pakwesi Emisa Arthur says Ghanaian students studying abroad will not have automatic jobs in Ghana upon completion of their courses. He said these students may have to compete with their colleagues back home for available jobs. He said this when he met a group of Ghanaian students and some members of a Ghanaian community in Istanbul, Turkey. Mr. Emisa Asa was of the view that Ghanaians who get the opportunity to study abroad through government scholarship should acquire special expertise that will make them competitive on the job market.
I don't see that the Public Service Commission, which is the need to go for jobs in the public sector, is going to say that because people have studied in Turkey, because somebody has come from the United States, then we should give him priority over the local people. If somebody has studied locally and is able to compete with you in the interview and beat you, then maybe he is the one who should have come here. So it is difficult. But because we also may have skills that are not available, we don't teach those skills in Ghana, it is very likely that you're going to have a chance to get a job nobody else will qualify for. So that is an advantage. But the impression I get is that everybody is out there studying, they claim oil and gas, but they are doing something about financing. That seems to be the easier course in oil and gas, not in actual engineering and so on. Everybody's taking the easy route of doing oil and gas secretarial work, or doing oil and gas something called oil and gas financed by Ghana government or others, but it is not hardcore oil and gas. And so if you are taking that easy route, you then want an easy route to a job. It seems to me that then you are taking advantage of those of them whose taxes are making it possible for you to come.
He also urged the students not to rely on already existing jobs upon completion of their courses, but also try to be industrious.
I have met a number of young IT people who decided that they were not going to look for government jobs, but they set up themselves. Seven young IT people, engineers, programmers, and so on, who got together, formed the company. They are providing services to the banks in Ghana. They are writing programs. They are doing all kinds of things with mechanizing processes that the banks used to do. And their prospects are great. I think that's how Bill Gates and people started, from the garage of their parents when they were in university, and they started doing these things and offering it. And within a few years, you'll be able to do wonderful things. So, yes, personal employment makes you a little secure. But if you want to make money, if you want to, those are done outside of government.
Vice President Pakwesi Emisa Arthur addressing some Ghanaian students studying in Istanbul, Turkey. A five-member task force has been inaugurated to see the early realization of the President's manifesto promises in the next 4 years. The inauguration was performed by President John Mahama at Flagstaff House in Accra. President Mahama charged the task force to work speedily but with recourse to processes and procedures that need to be followed. The task force is made up of Paul Victor being the convener, Dr. Stephen Adia, Coordinator Urban Bragging, Cletus Avoka, and Enoch Taymensa as members. We bring you Pascaline Adadivo's report. The setting up of a task force to achieve specific tasks on time without the usual bureaucracy in the public sector has more often than not yielded positive results. For instance, the two new public universities by the late President Mills' administration were spearheaded by task forces and were no doubt delivered on time. The second phase of the Better Ghana agenda will widely look at massive infrastructure development across the country. President John Mahama says his priority areas are in expanding infrastructure in the education, health and transport sectors. He promised Ghanaians 250 community senior high schools and a university in the Eastern Region. Members of the task force will work closely with sector ministers. President Mahama said he has no doubt that members of the task force, some of them nicknamed the three wise men, will deliver excellently. He urged them to be transparent and look at achieving the best cost options in delivering the goals.
That 4 years from now, we'll look back and see that probably this was the most important body that we set up during this government. This body that is going to help us to achieve the manifesto promises based on which Ghanaians gave us the mandate to govern. I have no doubt with the collective experience. During the electioneering campaign, we made promises in the field of education. Based on the lack of access to secondary education, 47% of our children who qualify for secondary school are not able to continue into secondary school just because there's no space, you know, in the existing secondary schools. Promises in the field of healthcare. One of the major problems we face in healthcare is the lack of access.
Orban Gbagbin is a former Minister of Health and a member of the task force responsible for health. He said funding has been sourced for 5 regional hospitals. Mr. Gbagbin, however, stated that Ghana as a country has not organized the health ministry well. He called for ministers assigned to that sector to be retained for a longer period.
One of the critical things I took up then to try and work on was a comprehensive conditions of service for the sector. But unfortunately, as we all know, ministers don't last in the sector, and therefore that's one of the challenges. As the former Minister for Health, I'm aware that we had already taken steps in many of these areas to secure funding. For example, for the regional hospitals, we have taken a lot of steps to secure funding for about 4 regional hospitals, and the cabinet had approved some of them, and the parliament had also approved some, and it was there with a few others to be approved by parliament. And so those will be processed quickly, and we will, with our technical support, try to expedite the implementation.
The task force will be serviced by a secretariat with operational funding from the office of the president.
Pascaline Adadevo. Government is to establish an enterprise development center, EDC, in Takoradi next month to support and build the capacities of small and medium enterprises, SMEs, in the oil and gas sector. Speaking at a day's conference on the establishment of the center, the Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakufibua, said this will equip the SMEs with the requisite skills to enable them to meet the requirements in the industry. Reverend Father Blaise Atachi and Anaya Wamponsa have more.
The desire of many Ghanaian SMEs to participate in the oil and gas sector has been confronted with a number of challenges. They include lack of information about business opportunities, meeting the required standards, and inadequate capital. It is due to the need to bridge this critical gap that the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum, the Ministry of Trade and Industry, and Jubilee Partners, which consists of Talo Oil Ghana Limited, Cosmos, Anadarko, Petro SA, and Ghana National Petroleum Company, came up with the Enterprise Development Center, EDC. The EDC will play a pivotal role in identifying opportunities and facilitating the development of SMEs for their participation in the oil and gas sector. The center will provide business development consultancy and training. The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakufibua, advised Ghanaians who are interested in joining the oil and gas sector to be cautious of various institutions who purport to offer training in oil and gas. He said they must make sure that such institutions are certified by the Petroleum Commission.
A report by Reverend Father Blaise Atachi and Nanayao Amponsa. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Turkey to invest $1.5 billion in Ghana's housing, energy and infrastructure development. President Mahama inaugurates task force to implement manifesto promises. Government to establish enterprise development center in Takoradi to build capacity of SMEs in oil and gas sector. Supreme Court grants application by former Attorney General to amend writ in case involving businessman Alfred Agbesiwoyomi and front runners in Venezuela's presidential election runoff campaign.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Scientists say the issue of investing in nuclear power to resolve the energy crisis in the country will be a useful exercise. They said though accidents happen, it is a useful venture which government should consider investing in. Speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News, Deputy Director General of the Ghana Atomic Energy Commission, Dr. Kwame Abu, believes the country should follow laid down regulations by putting in place an independent regulatory body to prevent external interference. They must also train the human resource base of a country to man the project.
The technology is matured, and then all you have to do is do it in a proper way. Accidents can happen and will happen to any form of energy and in any facet of life. Cars kill more people than aeroplanes, but anytime there's an aeroplane disaster, we all get worried. There are steps that we need to take in our energy program, and we have to do that. First, we have to get in place what we call an independent regulatory body. Independent in terms that they have the capacity to regulate. Number two, they are independent, not be any political interference. Three, that they have the financial resources to carry out an independent work. Well, we don't have any institution that will be totally independent, because the people will be appointed, by the way. For any system to run, you need human beings to do that. Unless you have money like the United Arab Emirates, who can afford to import everybody. Everybody from anywhere. Unfortunately, we don't have that type of resource. You need to train the human resource. It's for that reason that the International Atomic Energy Commission, the Ghana government, through the Ghana Atomic Energy and the University of Ghana, that's what we call the Graduate School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences, is train the necessary personnel. So that's also a leg of the decision that we take in. The third is that you need your grid system, or the your grid infrastructure from which you will take the power through, must be strengthened. So they are doing that, and they are doing part of it. It's also through what we call the West African Power Pool, that we are interconnecting all the West African electrical lines. The reason you want to do is that is that if your nuclear power generates about 1,000 megawatts, if you have to change your fuel, at least you will go about 2 weeks without that nuclear power. That happens once in 6 months, of course.
Deputy Director General of the Ghana Atomic Energy Commission, Dr. Kwame Abu.
The Ghana Association of Biomedical Laboratory Scientists says it faces ethical dilemma in the discharge of its duties, as practitioners have to compromise with inadequate logistics. At an interaction with the media in Accra, the president of the association, Prince Amuzu, said despite the invaluable contribution of practitioners to the health sector, lack of funding, substandard lab kits, among other things, impede their operations. He has therefore called on the National Health Insurance Authority to review the capitation modules as regards medical lab services to ensure efficiency. We bring you Cynthia Boateng's report.
Since its establishment in 1971, the Ghana Association of Biomedical Laboratory Sciences has evolved through several name changes to the present name and has branches in all the regions, numbering about 2,500. The association is affiliated to the International Federation of Biomedical Laboratory Science. The president of the association, Prince Amuzu, said on the occasion of its annual day celebration, which falls on the 15th of this month, his outfit is determined to enhance education and promote good ethics in the profession. He said biomedical scientists face a lot of challenges in their field of work, which sometimes compel them to act unethically. Mr. Amuzu explained what he describes as the issue of ethical dilemma and called on stakeholders such as the National Health Insurance Authority and the head of medical facilities to endeavor to equip practitioners for them to act professionally.
Practice overviews that we have conducted over the years in this country have taught us that we have centered attention to too much on condemning unethical conduct of some practitioners, which is correct. But we have, in so doing, actually ignored the root causes of their ethical dilemma, which usually is a complex of situations that often involves an apparent mental conflict between moral imperatives, in which when you obey one, will result in transgressing another. You need instrumentation, you need equipment to be able to collaborate. So each time that any one of these is missing, you are actually brought face to face with an ethical dilemma. So on a good day, you don't have blocks. There are emergencies and people need medical service. This is a dilemma. Would you serve the patient without a block? Or you say because there is no block, they should die? It's a dilemma. You have to choose one. But either of them, when you choose, you are actually
Mr. Amuzu said, in spite of the difficulties, the association will insist that health authorities involve scientists in the procurement of lab kits, while seeing to it that medical suppliers are registered and their products indexed to ensure safety. Cynthia Boateng's report. The National Health Insurance Authority has assured service providers of receiving their 4-month arrears next month. The chief executive officer of the authority, Sylvester Mensah, who gave the assurance, said after the debt is cleared, the authority will do well to make payments within 60 days period stipulated to pay claims. Mr. Mensah stated this when the health minister of Benin, Professor Dorothy Kindegazard and her entourage, visited the authority in a The Beninois Health Minister, Professor Dorothy Kindegazard, and a delegation of health professionals are in the country to study Ghana's health insurance scheme and replicate it in their country. Mr. Mensah said the NHIS serves as a social safety net for the poor and the marginalized in society. He said it also reduces the rate of self-medication. Mr. Mensah said the scheme, however, faces some challenges which results in huge costs for the scheme. Professor Dorothy Kindegazard said the delegation holds Ghana's NHIS in high esteem and seeks to have one like it. She said President Yayi Boni, since his assumption of office, has put plans in place for an insurance scheme to reduce the pressure in the health sector.
Priscilla Usuansa reporting. The relevance of the non-aligned movement has been reiterated by the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration Designate, Thomas Korte. He says though the movement came at a time when there was tension between the Communist East and the Capitalist West, conditions in the world and relations between some countries makes its existence still relevant. Ambassador Korte said this when he was vetted by the Appointments Committee of Parliament. They identify climate change and continuous rift between bigger nations and smaller states as current happenings that justify the existence of a non-aligned movement. Ambassador Korte was part of 5 deputy ministers who were vetted by the committee yesterday. Augustus Akwe and Dominic Logi have the details.
The second day of vetting President Mahama's deputy ministers designate covered those for the Ministries of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration, Local Government and Rural Development, Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation. The others were Transport and Finance. Deputy Minister Designate for Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration, Thomas Korte, said he and the minister will encourage Ghanaians abroad to register with the various missions. He noted that Ghana's positive image in the global community and the maintenance of diplomacy with other nations remain key in the advancement of economic growth. Next to take the seat was MP from Kwanza South, Emmanuel Ejikum, who will deputize the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, is giving the nod, admitted that the differences between some DCEs and MPs have not been the best. He said he will work hard to ensure in such instances the issues are properly resolved to aid development in the districts. Mr. Jekum also revealed that if the various assemblies were well resourced, they could afford to generate their own funds to motivate their members. He also touched on taxes and levies at the local level.
I think in the first place, we have to create an enabling environment for businesses. On that of creativity, trying to generate more about revenue. It's not like the revenue is not there at the assembly level. It's about how we collect it, how we do monitoring. There are a whole lot of ways that we can go about this. We can actually outsource the monitoring system, which brings in a lot of money as well, because the net, you can see that there are a lot of hoses in the net that the fishes go through it. So I will say that outsourcing monitoring is a way of getting money, and also looking at other sites. In Kwanza, for example, we're only capitalizing on what we're generating from the market, but we targeted our boundaries between Ofinsu and those areas, and it was helping us a lot.
The Deputy Minister for Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Dr. Benisa Luzvetting, centered more on her work as an HIV and AIDS advocate.
Dominic Nogi and Augustus Akwe filed that report. The Supreme Court has granted an application by former Justice and Attorney General Minister Martin Amidu to amend his writ to include two more reliefs in the suit against Waterville Holdings BVI Limited and businessman Alfred Agbesiwoyomi. The court, presided over by Dr. Justice Datiba, have directed Mr. Amidu to file this amendment writ within 3 days, after which the case will take its formal course. This was after Mr. Amidu move this motion for leave to amend a writ by addition of two reliefs. Mr. Amidu informed the court that he had been served with a memorandum of issues by Waterville Holdings and Mr. Wayme's legal representatives, but added that his amended writ takes care of the memorandum of issues. He prayed the court for leave to serve the parties on the defense with the amendment writ or maintain the original writ. The defense counsel did not oppose the application, which accepted by the court. His earlier writ, among other things, was challenging the payment of over 51 million cedis to Mr. Woyemi as claims for a loan contraction which never went to parliament. He has amended the previous release to include a declaration that Waterville Holding in making a claim and subsequently securing payments on the grounds that there was a breach of contract of two agreements between the government of Ghana and itself on April 26, 2006, when it knew the said two agreements were not laid down before and approved by Parliament under Article 181 of the Constitution to become operative as inconsistent with the law. He also seeks a declaration that the conduct of Mr. Woyemi jointly with Austro Investment Management Limited in making claims against the government of Ghana by suing the state and receiving payments when they knew that the said two agreements were not put and approved by Parliament to become enforceable is in contravention of the 1992 Constitution. Mr. Woyemi was absent in court as he's not in the country. Still at the Supreme Court, following concerns raised over a power of attorney document by former Minister of Justice and Attorney General Martin Amidu in a suit against the state, Isophotone S.A. and his agent Ananiah J. Forson, the Supreme Court has adjourned hearing to the 26th of this month. The adjournment is to allow Mr. Amidu to file a written statement on his objection to the power of attorney filed by counsels of Isophotone S.A. and Ananiah J. Forson. The Supreme Court has therefore ordered Mr. Amidu to file his issues of concern within 5 days. President John Mahama has, on behalf of government and the people of Ghana, extended his condolences and sympathies to the bereaved family and the people of the United Kingdom on the death of former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. In a statement, the Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Yauga, noted that the United Kingdom has lost a remarkable and iconic leader whose courage and singleness of purpose will always be remembered. It says Ghana acknowledges Baroness Thatcher as one of the greatest British Prime Ministers of the 20th century.
Meanwhile, the 2012 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has paid glowing tribute to former UK Prime Minister Baroness Margaret Thatcher. In a statement, Nana Addo described the former Prime Minister as one of the most outstanding leaders of the 20th century, whose ideas, principles and policies helped define today's world. It notes that as the first and by far the only female Prime Minister of UK, she strengthened considerably the belief that women could occupy high political office successfully.
And the main Venezuelan presidential hopefuls have ended their campaigns with massive rallies ahead of Sunday's election of a successor to President Hugo Chavez, who died last month. Hundreds of thousands of supporters of acting President Nicolas Maduro took to the streets of Caracas. In his final speech, opposition candidate Henry Capriles promised to revive the economy within a year and said his team is already working at the measures. To end the news, I mean points again. Turkey is to invest $1.5 billion in Ghana's housing, energy and infrastructure development. A high-power delegation is expected in the country later this month to firm up the agreements. President John Mahama has inaugurated a five-member task force to see to the early realization of manifesto promises in the next 4 years. An enterprise development center will be established in Takoradi next month to support and build the capacities of small and medium-scale enterprises in the oil and gas sector. And front runners in Venezuela's presidential election who have rounded off their campaigns. The news was presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Asumadisechi in Accra.